NFL Australia. Football. That's right. It's NFL Australia coming from a very weird location this week. I'll tell you that much. I'm your co-host, James Clements. I'm a guy. You can see me on Fox Sports Lab NFL. That's pretty good. You can see me in the paper every day, which is weird. But I am here in the Gold Coast. That's right. In a Gold Coast hotel room. I feel like Gaz. Gaz is the one that usually travels.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like, you need a new theme song for Jimmy on the Road. Jimmy on the road,
sinking tins. On the other side of this here computer, it's a bloke. He's 2-0. 2-0 at his voice after two gigs on the weekend. I'll tell you that. Yeah. Sometime singer in a band called The Ramshackle Army. He is my mate. He is your mate. It's Gaz. Gaz, what's going on?
Jimmy, you realise you've got the month wrong for schoolies, right?
Yeah, I mean, I just came up here expecting to be a toolie.
I'm completely creepy older dude.
Unfortunately, no, I'm here for NBL Blitz in my capacity as sometime basketball provocateur. And it's awesome. Why do we not all just live up here? What the hell are we doing? Anyway, the NFL season has started, Gaz. It's still starting. It's week two. It's done. Footy's back. I'm loving that. And I think the biggest thing we're dealing with right now is injury. So we're going to...
fucking wild.
It sucks. We'll talk about week two today. We'll fly through all the games. We'll do some quick yen-ars, good bloke and flog of the week, Outback Takehouse. We'll do some picks for week three, and that's it. We're going to do it quick because, I don't know,
it's,
Gaz
it's
is
during
busy.
The workday, mate. It's during the workday. We're taking some time off, and you've got shit to do on the Goldie.
So. I do. I've got to get to, like, three back-to-back-to-back basketball games today. So, anyway, let's do it. NFL Australia, let's go. Ew. Hi, this is everybody who watched either of those games on Tuesday morning. And you're listening to NFL Australia. All right, guys. It is NFL Australia. Random thoughts from a weird week two. I do love week two, though. It's like probably my favorite because you get the overreactions before it. Yep. And then you get to react to the overreactions after week two.
Yep.
And you go, oh, it's 0-2. Like, what are we talking about? This is great. And I think we really dug ourselves into a bit of a hole. I think we both leaned on the Detroit Lions, that Seattle game. Like, it was like one of these weird games where we'll talk about it in a second. But I think it's a good encapsulation of we know what we know. And then when something goes against that, we all pivot just as quickly
wildly
as possible.
Wildly overcorrect.
It's like wildly so stupid. So Detroit lose that game against Seattle. Seattle looked awesome again. You're like, what is going on? This is so stupid. They were going to be good. We knew that. But the defense is the big problem, right? And if they played a team with an actual defense as well, maybe who knows what happened. But some big injuries. Obviously, Chubb, his knee went the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't good.
No. No.
It was sickening. But anyway. Saquon got hurt. Joe Burrow hurt. He's re-aggravated my calf. Everyone's like, oh, God, that's not good. We had Bill Belichick give us the single most disgusted flag throw in the history of the NFL.
Wait for the chain to get out of the way and then bam!
It was so petty and so funny and so good and so childish and so Belichick that I loved it. We also had Kenny Chesney ringing that bell on top of that lighthouse there in New England with the new... Yep. New board. It's a big lighthouse. It's pretty
big. Couple of ads from me. My dynasty team's already fucked. I've lost Aaron Rodgers and Chubb in dynasty fucking 2 weeks in a row. But the other one is Sean McVay just out there trying to screw with everyone in the multi trying to cover the spread just for no apparent reason.
Every time. That Rams team, I just don't know what's going on. The weird thing is your NFC East is the NFC Beast once again, 7-1. What is going on?
Hey, so no division, I think the other day, no division's ever sent three teams 2 years in a row. So, if the East do that, it's not looking out. Like, we still think that the Commanders are going to fall off a cliff, don't we?
I think that's what we're going to get to when we hit Nas. I've got a feeling that I'm going to have some pushback on that. I think the other big thing, so Saquon hurt his ankle and I feel like every push notification I got Monday morning was about Saquon. It's like, can we just fucking chill with the Saquon? Like, he's hurt. We get it.
Yeah.
They're going to do an MRI. These things are blah, 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 blah. It's like, oh, they're going to check. And it's like, yeah, no shit. He's hurt. Fucking just like everybody else. but we also have what, Gardner Johnson go out with a pec injury as well. You've got Jamal Williams for the Saints going out injured, and you're like, whoa. But my point out of all this, Gaz, is if you're a running back, why would you sign with a team at the start of the year?
Yeah.
Just
get paid unders. Go through training camp.
Hang out for a couple more weeks at the start of the season, and you'll have pick. You'll have your pick of any team, and there's going to be four that need like a starting running back. Like Kareem Hunt is sitting there right now, going, "I'm about to just like get a wicked bonus for 2023."
He's already visited the Browns, and it was only yesterday, right?
It's crazy. I love it. So that's kind of my point. I'm like, you talk about the running back position being completely devalued in terms of actual salaries and actual contracts, then they should just flip side it and just go, nobody signed. All right, let's wrap up some games. Anything else that pops out after week two?
No, not really. I mean, there was some pretty horrendous games. There's some pretty, some teams who are looking down the barrel of a pretty shitty, tough record on the way up. So, I suppose we should talk about them.
Yeah, we'll get to 0-2 teams in the Nars, because there's a lot. And everybody has the stat after week two of, you know that in 300 only ba-ba-da-ba-da have actually made the playoffs. It's like, all right.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
But it does happen, like literally last year. So it's okay.
Yep.
I think it was... Yeah, what's the actual stat? I believe since 1990, 31 of 270 teams.
Since the realignment, the only team who's done it from 0-2 was something like last year's Bengals.
Bengals did it and off they went. But yeah, it's a lot, but it's not that crazy. 31 of 270 have gone 0-2 and made the playoffs.
I think the tough thing.
11%. Yeah, that's not great. Yeah.
But the tough thing about the Cincy is that they were both, it's the division games that add that extra bit of spiciness to it, right?
Yeah. We'll talk about those in a second. Let's get into it. The week two wrap. Eagles back on Thursday. Remember that game? Jesus.
Fuck, that was ages ago.
Yeah, it was literally almost a week ago now. 34-28, they beat the Vikes. How did you feel about this one? The old backdoor cover as well from the Vikings, making you guys work for it down the stretch. But
Look.
I feel like I had a good read on this as well. I had Hurts for 2+ touchdowns. He didn't quite hit the rushing yards mark, but no. I kind of enjoyed Hurts just going, just give me the ball, it'll be fine, and off he went.
Look, there's definitely a push there to they're still feeling out the offense. I think they found something that worked. What was obvious was the Vikes were dropping 8 in coverage constantly, so you saw AJ Brown on the side getting a little bit frustrated in Hurts. So all they did is just went, fuck yeah, and they ran it down their throat. So I think there was a drive there. It was 16 plays and the Eagles ran 13 of them. So Swift had his breakout game after getting 2 touches in the first week, ends up with 175 yards, and the Eagles rushed for 259. So definitely found the way to defeat the Vikings. Unfortunately, that defense, we could have prevented them coming back like that bit at the end. Jefferson went off. That was great because last year Slay shut him down, and even Slay came out and said, oh, the guy was honed in this week. he definitely had that game circled. So, but yeah, there's that defense for the Vikings. I don't know, that division, that's going to be a shootout when they get against the Lions as well, right? It could be two shitty defenses.
I think they had like 6 changes on that defense. And more importantly, they brought in Brian Flores as well.
Yeah.
To be their coordinator. I think it's just going to be a case of time for the Vikes. It'll be like a month in, and then it'll sort of start becoming a little bit more terrifying. I feel like Addison looks really good next to Jefferson. Yeah, it opens things up for him. I think they'll be fine. Like,
I think their run game's a problem, though. Mattinson is not he's not Delvin Cook, right?
Yeah, sometimes when you're the backup and you come in for the dude and you get to be the dude for 2 weeks, it's awesome to be the dude for 2 weeks, but then when you have to be the dude for fucking 17 weeks, it's a bit fucking harder. Anyway, good win for the Eagles. They go 2-0. Yeah. Vikings 0-2. Rough as guts. Baltimore beat Cincy. Nailed it. 27-24. Joe Burrow gets hurt late. Obviously, Cincy then start 0-2 for the second straight year. The biggest thing about this, and it was a really fun, well, when I say fun, I mean it was okay, but it was cool to see Lamar Jackson throwing the ball and just going, yes, I can throw the ball. But as part of that, it felt like his getting the opportunity to throw the ball means that he's like, hang on, if I don't have to throw it on this play, I can just run it. And it's not like a design run where the defense is keyed in on him and is just going to, like, you know, throw a bunch of dudes at him. He's like, oh, I'm just kind of playing like Lamar Jackson now. This is fucking great. And it works. So the problem is Baltimore is just so injured. It's like fucking, who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, he did that with, I think it was just more balanced. He did it without OBJ.
Yep.
But Zay Flowers has given him Zay Flowers some light to go to. He's a gun, right?
Awesome. God damn.
And it just means that he's not trying to put up everything. At, like, you just, when he's scrambling for 40, 50 yards in a play, you're just kind of waiting for him to get that one awkward hit. Like, it happened last year, right? Like, that hit started out like a fucking machine. And then you're just like, ah, oh, you got to be injured at some point. You're only good for about 10 games. But if he can, if he's relying on distribution to those weapons on the outside, having Mark Andrews back, then you're like, fuck, this could be a pretty potent offense. And that defense is still fucking great. Yeah. Right, that's a pretty spicy defense.
Well, it's a defense that has a bunch of injuries on it in Baltimore, but they're just always going to be tough. And
yeah.
It doesn't matter. Like, you can say stuff like that, and it's like, but then they'll have like squishy weeks. Baltimore just doesn't have the squishy weeks. It's weird. Yeah. I kind of love it. Harbaugh is unreal. What a coach. Mm. Whereas Cincy, if they don't have Joe Burrow, there's always one team that is a contender going into the preseason and then just falls off a fucking cliff.
Yep.
If Joe Burrow is re-aggravated that calf, it could be fucking Cincinnati, which hurts my heart because I love this Bengals team. But there's always
the funny
one.
Thing is, if he'd taken an extra couple of weeks off to recover versus the rushing back, like, they would be in no worse situation.
It'd still except be
they'd have, except they'd have a healthy Joe Burrow. So, anyway.
Speeding through, Chicago looked like dog shit against Tampa Bay, 27-17.
Holy crap.
Gaz, I hate to break to everybody, but I might be out on Justin Fields because everybody else might be as well. This is not great. That dude cannot throw a football.
It was a tough watch, man.
It was like, an ugly watch.
How much is fucking Mayfield enjoying fucking having Evans to throw to?
Giving Baker Mayfield an actual like couple of like receivers that are good. Yeah. And like zero pressure feels like a pretty good, nice mix there for Tampa Bay. Yeah. So,
and they've still got those players on defense, right?
Like Shaq Barrett, right? With the basically the game sealing fucking weird little interception dump off from Fields that he just went, oh, well, I'll take that. Thanks.
That gave me like PTSD of Carson Wentz like, passing from the end zone. Yeah. Anyway.
But yeah, that was the play that basically sank that game because it was 2017, I think, when it happened.
Yeah, it was close, but yeah, that play straight out of the end zone. No,
because I think I was feeling at that point, we both had taken Chicago +3, I think, in the in the picks last week, and I think I had them in like, I don't know, I didn't trust the Bears too much to put like a bunch of money on it or anything.
Yeah.
But they were one of my picks in like one of my multis and shit. So, but basically I think the read from this is it must suck to be a Bears fan or have Fields in fantasy. Mm. I'm one of those two things and we know another Bears fan. So it's actually both of us. anyway, Tampa Bay though, they're the sneaky fun one. That's like 2-0 out of nowhere.
Yeah.
You do expect this to drop off though, don't you?
Yeah. Them and the commies are putting my unders bet for the year, at risk, my unders multi at risk because, you know, in that division in the South, like they'll squeak out a couple of sneaky ones because you know as fun as Atlanta's been, they'll drop the odd one. And then as we've seen from the one of the games yesterday, the other two teams are not setting the world on fire. So that South is
right there. Green Bay 24, Atlanta 25. Weirdly, this was 24-12. And then it was not. Then it was 24-25. What the fuck, Green Bay? Weird. This, we amazingly, I think we both may have picked this one too.
Yeah.
I think because actually, to be honest, it was weird. I think this line swung from like, I think it was Atlanta +1.5 when we picked it. I think they ended up favorites by 1.5 as well by the end of the week. But it was still that close. And when there's a line that's like 1.5 and like you sort of do the old toss up of like, yeah, maybe. Invariably, it ends up being a 1-point game to fuck somebody. But we were on the right side of history with at least Atlanta. Like, I think they're up 24-12. And after that point, they ran 10 plays, gained 7 yards, and punted 3 times.
I think my comment from last week was when I picked for Chicago and against Green Bay is after last week's Chicago-Green Bay game, I thought it was too early to give up on Chicago and it was too early to be sold on Green Bay. I only made one of those correct.
Half right. The best kind of right. Yeah. Ridder still looks a bit wonky, but he was pretty good in the second half. And then they also just went, well, we've still got a Bijan Robinson, so we'll just give it to him. Fuck it, whatever. And you've got Young Wei Koo just fucking nailing shit, winning the game. And you got Arthur Smith and his mustache.
Yeah, but Bijan after two games, he's he's pretty much as advertised as it says on the tin, right? He's like some of his cuts, his jump cuts, and like just dudes out of the shit in traffic, just like three guys having a crack at him and just straight through. It was great. So 250 yards from scrimmage in two games, like not fucking bad for a team that's got Algier and fucking Drake London after a quiet game in the first round had showed up this week, but Kyle Pitts, mate, like generational talent, still nowhere to be fucking seen.
Hurt your heart. Flip side for Green Bay as well. Jordan Love has some moments and it's like he's throwing to nobody and all Aaron Rodgers did was bitch and moan about throwing to nobody. And Jordan Love's like, I don't know, I'll make it work. It's fine. Aaron Rodgers, overrated. Houston 20, Indy 31. I did not care about this game. AFC South stinks. Richardson got hit and got hurt, so we had Gardner Minshew pop back in, a.k.a. the best injury replacement quarterback in the NFL.
100%.
Comes in, crushes it. Indy will do this, I think, at times during the season, right? They'll just come out and they'll look half decent, even without a run game, and just kind of like manufacture shit. But this was also like the O-line for Houston is fucking cooked. CJ is just like running for his life. But flip side, good stuff for Houston. Like he looked okay at times, like CJ, like even though he's being flushed out. And it's sort of that thing of the Ohio State quarterback.
Yep.
You've got Justin Fields, and when that happens, he just falls to fucking pieces. And CJ already within two games doesn't look too bad. Like he's been sacked 11 times, and he's still kind of like, yeah, fuck it. I'll figure something out, which is kind of cool.
Up 146 to Nico Collins. What is it? Ohio, you mentioned Ohio State. The Ohio State quarterbacks are 0-6 for the year.
Not great.
But the other one, like the Shane Steichen offense, like in the first half when Richardson was in there, like they actually looked, Shane Steichen's just finding a way to take advantage of the very few pieces that he actually fucking has. And, Minshew, of course, he knows how to use him. That fucking mustache, Minshew. Minshew mania in Indy.
Yeah, I don't know. These seem two teams are shithouse anyway. Seattle 37, Detroit 31. Overtime, baby. The shootout that we kind of vaguely predicted.
Yeah.
But somehow Detroit's defense is worse than Seattle's. And Goff finally managed to throw an interception for the first time in like, 300-something throws. So it was a weird game because – yeah, Geno sort of running around like a headless chook at times and he, complaining to the ref while the ref says,
that was great.
Hey,
that was
cool. I'm talking to America. It's like, all right.
Of course great you time. Are.
But yeah, just as I said earlier, right? Like Seattle were the week one overreaction team where they look like dog shit against the Rams, go on the road and then just keep up and then beat Detroit. It's like, we should have seen this coming, but we're idiots.
And then Detroit was the overreaction team after beating the Chiefs, right?
Yep, 100%. So it's the flip side.
But was that just their defense didn't show up after Aiden Hutchinson had a great game in week one? Just the stat line for the Detroit, the total defense was one sack, one tackle for loss, one hit. They just couldn't get to Geno, like not even a fucking sniff to Geno. And that's a bit wild.
Yeah, it makes it weird sort of. Like, I hate a game like this as well because it's like, it returns to what we kind of vaguely expect. But then going into week three, I'm like, I still don't know what the fuck to expect out of either of these teams. KC beat the Jags in what was meant to be a shootout and was not. 17-9. What happened to Jacksonville? This was horrible. Like, Lawrence was in the red zone, I felt like, for about 247 minutes in the 60-minute game. Like, it just felt like Jacksonville was just there the entire time and they didn't score. He set a record for like red zone shots.
Yep.
Like it was, what are we doing? And also it was good to see because you got that weather there in Jacksonville, the pool, the STD pool.
Yep.
They
both offenses feel like they're still just feeling themselves out, right? Like
Kelsey came back though, so.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And Jones, obviously, like he was in Lawrence's face. But after a solid week in the first week, Etienne had 40 yards, not much. So we'll see. Yeah, I'm not really worried about either of those teams, to be honest. I mean, they'll both settle down. They'll still be there at the end of the season, just feeling each other out.
It was one of those weird ones because you just like KC just aren't going to start 0-2. They're just not.
So. There's also that. There's that thing about the old ex Eagles coaches and the fact that Dougie P worked under Andy at KC, and Andy just has a habit of knowing him, just beats him every time.
Yep. Well, so. I think for me the thing that stands out with the Chiefs is the defense has been really good.
Yeah. Like,
they're kind of carrying Patrick Mahomes, which is weird to say, but they are. We had Niners Rams 30-22. This was not the blowout we all expected. It was close for three quarters, and this is kind of what you should probably expect from the Rams, right?
Yeah.
Sean McVay just sort of out there coaching up a bit of a storm, just making it hard on everybody. But Shanahan still owns the Rams. I think they're now 10-3 all time.
Yeah.
But my biggest point is like Mr. Irrelevant, Brock Purdy looks awesome. Like some of his throws are just fucking like, how is he already better than Mac Jones? This fucking hurts my heart. But other thing, Matt Stafford looks rejuvenated. Like there was like a little scramble that he had where he took off after the ball in one point. And it's like, Matt Stafford's got wheels all of a sudden. What are we doing here? So they've got to trade him, don't they? Like, what are you doing? Just, this is a pointless fucking year, Rams. Just quit it. Quit it.
Yep.
You're 1-1. Like, what are you
You're
doing? Yep. But yeah, the Niners, basically the thing for this was, if they were a lesser team, the Rams probably would have won this. But because the Niners are that good and that well coached, the defense just at times was like, oh, nah, fuck you. You're not going to score, and just stop them flat out dead. And you're like, yep, that checks out. That's still the Niners. McCaffrey still causing havoc. Debo looking good in this game too. I think next week is the George Kittle game. It feels like they're just going to keep spreading it around. It's like, all right. Yep. You know, Debo's, but you know, he took a couple of big hits this week, so fuck it. We'll give it to George this week, and he can carry us home with three touchdowns or something. So,
yeah, the story for the Rams is what's his name?
Puka Nacua.
25 receptions in two games as a fifth round rookie. Like, let's be honest. Stafford doesn't have many options to go to.
Who else is he throwing to?
Still, as a fifth round rookie, to have 25 receptions in two games, we'll see how that holds up when Cup comes back. But that's pretty epic start.
All right, Titans 27, Chargers 24, overtime because of course, and Brandon Staley sucks. He's not happy, and nor should he be because that's the second straight week they've given up a fourth quarter lead and lost the game. Titans out-toughed them. Hopkins is still alive. Tannehill's shit, but did enough. Like, if you can make Ryan Tannehill look half decent after week one, your defense is fucked, and that's the Chargers. Yeah. I think there's a great stat flying around about the Chargers. They're the 33rd team ever to have 50-plus points in the first 2 weeks and zero turnovers. They're the only one that's 0-2.
Dude,
that is fucked. Like, Herbs has gone for, what, 300 plus in this game, two touchdowns. They got five sacks. Henry doesn't hit 100. They cook it when Staley calls a dummy timeout, when Henry goes off the field when they need a first down to keep the game alive in overtime. That allows them to get Henry back out there. Guess who gets the first down? Oh, Derek fucking Henry. Staley, he should have been fired like after that.
Is it anyway. the odds have got to be shortening for Staley to be the first one.
Oh, yeah. Especially with this week coming up. Like, if they lose this week, it would not surprise me if he just gets shit canned. So, meanwhile, Titans are pretty good. Moving along, fly through the rest of this. Bills 38, Raiders 10. This was the shit pumping that was there. But the Raiders did score first. And I'm like, hang on, what's going on? And then they were shit the rest of the game. Bills smoked them. Jacobs had minus 2 yards on 9 carries.
That's wild.
Whew, not great. But, this is kind of the vibe.
At the end of this game, after a really shit counting in the media this week, you just all of the pundits were, Allen has one of these games every so often just to quieten all the doubters because he went 31 of 37. Well, don't have the shit ones then. Like, just constantly trying to do that gunslinger thing it's almost 50-50 where it whether it's going to come off or just fall in a heap. So maybe just calm the fuck down a little bit and even some of those peaks and troughs out.
Handy when you're playing the Raiders D. But yeah, he's Shooter Jennings, right? I'm a motherfucking gunslinger. Washington 35, Denver 33. What a stupid game. Denver, get the Hail Mary, the bouncing around Hail Mary, and then don't get the two-point conversion which to force overtime, which is hilarious. But Denver were dominating this game, and then they weren't. What the fuck? It's amazing.
It's the same as another game that we're about to talk about. But, like, I was just like, so the Commanders, after, you know, taking on Arizona last week, they've finally shown up to be the team we thought they were going to be. And to be honest, like, Rusty looked good in the first half. I think you had those vibes a couple of seasons ago where you were like, I'm getting fully behind the Tua Fitzmagic fucking thing of play a half each. Mate, I'm trying to change the rules in our fantasy league. So can I just only start Rusty for the first half and then swap him out mid-game, right? Because they just stopped, apart from that Hail Mary that made these second half stats look massively padded. Yeah. They just stopped after halftime. And he looks,
they're up 21-3. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
It's stupid. This Denver team. I mean, Sean Payton is just like, Rusty will go for like a drive one day and Sean Payton will just let him out.
Yeah.
And just like he's abandoning a dog in like the desert or something. It's like, dude, we'll never see him again. But yeah, look, Denver is shit. We'll talk about them in the 0-2 teams, but fucking hell, Washington, that is chaos. Giants, Cards, same vibe. Giants were down 21 in the third quarter. They were 0-60 across the first six quarters of
I think I made a post on our facey. They were 0-70 if you go back in total quarters. If you go back to the last quarter of the playoff game against the Eagles last year, they were outscored 10-0. So if you include that, they hadn't scored in a proper game in, what was that, like fucking seven quarters?
So good.
And then literally after halftime, it was a different fucking game.
Yeah, that's because the Cards very clearly tanked the second half. I don't know if you can tank halves, but that's pretty much what they did.
That's wild. But it was just exactly what, like, it just, once again, PTSD of last year with Jonathan Gannon. Like, the Eagles would race out to a second quarter lead, and then all of a sudden the game's tightened up because Gannon just softens. Nah, it's all right. Like, we'll just play with the lead and soften that up. And just the Giants started going off, right? Waller involved.
Brian Daboll is obviously a really good coach.
Yeah.
But he does have that unfortunate vibe of like being a bigger dude. And when shit's not going his way, they cut to him and you're like, oh, he can kind of look like a bit of a dummy.
Yep.
Oh. And it did cross my brain. I'm like, is Daboll like really overrated at this point? 0-60 across your first two heart. Like, what is happening? Yep. And then they came back and kicked the fuck out of the card. So lucky, good job. Cowboys, Jets, gross, 30-10. Dallas fucking killed him. Jets, Zach Wilson, Garrett Wilson. Garrett Wilson sort of goes out with an injury at 1.2. Dak was steady again. Zach Wilson, shithouse. I think the biggest problem for the Jets is that they won that game against the Bills in week one. Because if they had have lost that, they would have had the very easy go, we can't just carry Zach Wilson. We've got to get somebody else in. But they win that game. They put that off like a week or two. I think they play the – do we play them this week? I think it's the Pats Jets. Maybe.
Yeah, it could be, actually.
Holy shit. Yes, it is. Oh, my God. Against that Pats defense, I don't know. But, yeah, that game sucked. Dallas roll. They look great. The defense is incredible.
Yeah. The Cowboys on all phases look pretty fucking special this year. But my comment there, and obviously they're all over the power rankings, the NFC, we were all talking about the movements of quarterbacks from the NFC to the AFC and, you know, it's how powerful it's going to be. And it's the NFC that's fucking the strength at the moment.
Not really because of the quarterbacks either, which is the craziest part.
And the other thing is like, well, there's a lot of overreactions in the East, as there always fucking is, about were the Eagles struggling and the Cowboys. It's our year. It's getting to that point in the old cycle, mate. It's our year because we've beaten up on some pretty shit teams. But it's not the beginning of the season that has us worried about the Cowboys, right? They always start hot.
This is you just going in the Dallas Reddit and just sort of sitting there, no pants, just loving every second of
it. I'm just like, let's just calm down a little bit, boys, because there's a lot of season to go.
Speaking of calm down, I'm not going to calm down because the Pats are shit. 17-24. Mac, that interception that Xavier Howard had, where it's like, I'm pretty sure he just threw it to Xavier Howard. Like, what? Yep. Like, Devontae Parker was out of bounds. Like, what are you doing, Mac? Anyway, Tua is him. Tua looked fucking awesome against that Pats defense. Look, you knew that they were going to limit the sort of points total, and they limited Tyreek Hill pretty well. And that's going to be the story of this season for the Pats. The D will keep them in it in every game. Yep. And it's going to be like, can we eke out enough as this offense tries to get better under Bill O'Brien, which it probably will. And we'll probably eke out like 7 or 8 wins at some point. But the Dolphins, I think this is a great test, right? Go into New England, win that sort of the Sunday night football game under the lights, big new fucking lighthouse, all this sort of shit. And they just sort of did the job. Mike McDaniels is awesome. Tua was really good.
Yep.
I think Tua finally got sacked, and it's like, oh, but that's going to happen all season, right? Like anytime he gets hit, you're going to be like, well, be here we go.
Puckering assholes. Everyone's tightening up. But
the Dolphins look fucking awesome. I love it.
Even Mostert had a massive game, yep. 120. But Stevenson, like, he just hasn't really shown up this year for you guys yet.
Breaks my heart because I think it was the Chargers ran all over the Dolphins in week one.
Yeah.
And we have a better running attack than the Chargers, and we couldn't do shit. Yep. Anyway. All right, Saints, Panthers, the first of the double headers on Monday Night Football, Tuesday morning. This game was dog shit. 20-17, Saints drag it out. Chris Olave had the massive sort of big reception. Michael Thomas is still alive at times. Jamal Williams goes out hurt. Saints do enough. And then Steelers-Browns, 26-22. Chaos game. Absolute chaos game. Wild. How good is Pickens? When I say Pickens, is that Deshaun? I don't know. We'll just call him Pickens. But George Pickens is awesome. Kenny Pickett did enough, but this game is fucking weird and shit as well. So what a weird doubleheader.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I focused on the Steelers-Browns because I think I said in my lead up to the season that anything in that AFC division I'm going to watch because it's just going to be chaos, those four teams. And it kind of was a shit game, but it lived up to the chaos. So, yeah, like the Steelers offense had, and it was a close game and they won, but had -7 yards in the last quarter. Like, how the fuck does that work? And Deshaun, like, as we'd seen, Watson, he's fucking terrible. Obviously, the storyline of this game was Chubb going out. But, like, Deshaun had a pick and 2 lost fumbles and continues to steal a shit ton of money, right? Yeah. Like, that's wild.
He's going to need it for all those Cleveland rubbing tugs.
No, 100%. But the Steelers defense, mate, and TJ Watt had gone off. I thought it was worth the stat line of the total defense. 6 sacks, 9 tackles for loss, 11 hits, and 2 TDs from the defense. Right? That's, more points on nuts. D than what you could get out of some pretty high offensive draft picks, right?
Yeah. Not great. But anyway, look, big win for the Steelers though. And they needed it, right? They weren't going to go 0-2, not at home, not back-to-back home underdog losses from Mike Tomlin. Just never going to happen. So they pulled it out. Good job by the Steelers. Righto. That's all the games. Let's do some yeah-nahs.
Yep.
Can we power rank some 0-2 teams? Yes, let's do it. Let's talk about, are they in trouble? And just as a yeah, nah, really quickly. Cincy, are they in trouble? Yeah, nah.
Nah.
Ooh, I'd say yeah. I think if Burrow is cooked, this could be the thing where it's like, oh, yeah. The team that looked like it was going to be awesome all off season scratches out like a weird 6-game winning, like a 6-win season. And you're like, what happens? Like, oh, Joe Burrow fucked his calf. Was in and out of the lineup for the first 2 months and we never quite recovered.
I haven't seen the latest reaction. Are they expecting him to lose time?
Well, I think the fact that he came out after the game saying, oh, re-aggravated the calf injury. So it's like, well, but we won't know basically until closer to it, I think.
Yeah, the same. Because he's struggling to complete deep passes.
Yep.
Because they can't push off on that. Yeah, okay.
And I think the most frustrating part was that, like, I think in that game, he looked like he was starting to, like, especially in the second half, he looked way better than he had.
Oh, T. Higgins actually showed up after no receptions and 8 targets in the first game, right?
Good on him. Yeah. Imagine going against him in fucking fantasy. Patriots, are they in trouble? Yeah, nah.
Mate, in that division, I think you're cooked.
Yeah.
cooked. I don't think that goes
We're not so. Making the playoffs, simple as that. No. Denver, are they in trouble? Yeah, nah.
Yeah, then well, I mean, they've shown that even if they start to pull it together, I mean, you'd call it a rebuild year if it wasn't for that amount of money that you're paying Rusty. And the fact
and the
that
draft picks you gave up to get
the
him.
The draft half picks you bid it. And the fact that you've already seen, you know, some injury trouble at wide receiver. And then that defense isn't holding it together the way that they previously had. So, yeah, the positive side out of Denver is it's a bit thin, isn't it?
Yep. Chargers, are they in trouble? Yeah, nah.
Depends how... Fuck, Staley, he's just not very good.
I don't think so.
You know, Kellen Moore obviously is... I don't know whether we've really seen the Kellen Moore effect. Look, Keenan Allen's, as my fantasy team will tell you, Keenan Allen's definitely getting more involved, and if those guys can stay healthy. But... You know, Herbs is just being Herbs and doing everything he can. Having Eckler out obviously doesn't help because that dude's a cheat code every time he's in. So, well, look, if they can get some, stay healthy and then tighten up that defense, they should be all right. But
I think the toughest thing for me with the Chargers is that Staley was kind of like the aggressive, fuck it, analytics, let's do it, fourth down. Yeah. And it's just sort of, he's now coaching scared.
Yeah.
And like, oh, well, I don't want to lose this game, so we better not try to win it. It's like, bro, like, this is the problem. You can't have one coaching philosophy and then change it like midstream. You're cooking yourself. I think they're fucked. I hate it, but I think they're fucked. Like, this week for them is like basically you're done if you lose. So,
yeah.
Minnesota, they are in trouble. Yeah, nah.
Yeah. I mean, we said it last year, and they squeaked out those one score games. But you know, this is regressing to the mean, Jimmy. Like had way above your average wins in one score games last year, and now both of their losses are in under a touchdown. So regress to the mean, and that's I mean, that division though, like, it's no one's standing out so far. Right. Yep. So someone will take control. You got to think. But yeah, we'll see how we go. But I think this is the year they fall off a cliff. There's already conversation. This stop with the Zach Wilson experiment and New York Jets be picking up the phone to Minnesota.
It's probably worth it if they lose this week. But I think, do they play the Chargers or something this week? I think. And it's just, yeah, they do. Chargers at Minnesota. That's like a fuck you game. Like whoever loses that one, it might all be over.
Yep.
I don't think they're in that much trouble because I think, as you said, right, they're in a squishier division where if they win this week, they're still fine. So they're in a bit of trouble, but not too much trouble. Mm. And then the bottom four, the Cardinals, the Bears, Carolina and Houston, like, just pack her up, boys, right? Yeah, no.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I think the Cards were tanking in some pretty major ways at the beginning of the season with trading array. It was like fire sale mode. I think the standout in that list is actually the Bears because they have invested so much. Effectively, it was a pick 32, first and the second round, but effectively a first rounder for Chase Claypool. Spent a bunch for Moore. They've obviously got Juzzy. They're trying to put weapons around him, but just the improvement hasn't been there.
No.
Whereas at least this is a... for Carolina and Houston, it's like, you know what? Just get out there. This is a let's see what we got kind of year.
Yep.
CJ Stroud, just fucking survive until we can get you an O-line. So I don't think they're all – the expectations weren't high on any of those teams. Well, the Bears were the fucking team in the offseason, right?
That might be the thing where the Bears are probably more in trouble just from like a more meta point of view. It's like, where is this team actually going after spending all that time and – money, and it just sort of doesn't seem to have moved the needle at all.
Nope.
Flip side, Eagles, Niners, and Dallas. They're the best three in the NFL. Yeah, nah.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, well, fuck. I don't know. The Eagles haven't really played anyone tough yet, which I'm glad of because we're still finding ourselves. Dallas.
You played the Pats in week one, and then, you know, you turn around and beat the Vikings like on a short week. I think that's
We've just said that the Vikings are in trouble and you're not making the playoffs. So, like, I stand by my previous comment.
Yeah, you're beating two non-playoff teams. That's actually
exactly
pretty squishy.
Right.
Yeah.
But then, obviously, Dallas, similar. I'm like, they've done it a lot more convincingly, but almost similar vibes, right? Like, they've beaten the two New York teams. Yes, they put up a decent amount of points on that Jets defense, but when the offense keeps handing the ball back to you and you've got the ball more times than a normal game, then yeah, you can put up more points. And then those Giants were, you know, they struck. Yes, they had an epic comeback, but it was against the fucking Cards, right? So we don't expect them to be, you know, Daboll might sort them out because he is him, but I think they haven't really beaten anyone yet. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, I mean, it's what you can see in the first 3 weeks. They are the most complete teams, even if there is some stuff to tighten up.
So weirdly enough, I think sticking with the NFC, like the two least convincing 2-0 teams are probably the Commies and the Bucks.
Yeah.
I would say. Yeah, nah?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, Commies played, what, Arizona and
Denver in Denver is pretty tough. Denver,
but yeah, but we've just said that they ain't got much in the tank. So yeah, I mean, the Commies, don't get me wrong, they're showing up. Sam Howell's actually been better than I kind of expected. It just does make it weird that Ron Rivera came out and said, oh, yeah, once I got him into the lineup at the end of that season, I realized how good he was. Like, you've had him in fucking training camp and every practice for like 6 months. That says more about you than it does about him, mate.
That's literally just putting a sign around your neck saying, I'm a dummy.
Yeah, and Eric Bieniemy, like the narrative that keeps wildly swinging about, oh, the front office and this type of offense and everyone loves him and all this, except the players, except those who think he's a tough prick. So, yeah, we'll see when they start to play some, you know, the rest of the teams in the East. We'll see what happens in there, and I think they may fall off. And really, I still can't expect too much out of this Bucks team, right?
Nice. Flip side, AFC. A lot of talk about the Jets. Bit of talk about the Pats. Zach Wilson is Mac Jones with the worst coach. Yeah, nah.
You've just got the two defensive-led teams that the offense, they just keep trying and trying to work on that offense, but just not coming up year after year, right?
Kills me. That's all right. Look, I think Mac's got a little bit more juice than Mac's better than Zach, I'd say. But not by a giant amount. It's fucking hurting my heart. But either way, flip side to that though, Tua. MVP favorite all of a sudden. What do you reckon?
Yeah, it has to be, right? Like no one else has really stood out. Even your usual suspects haven't stood out. Hurts hasn't put up too much. There's all, are you worried about Hurts? He's got two turnovers. Like, settle down. As you said before, the defense is carrying the Chiefs. Burrow's injured. Lamar had a not great week one and is settling into, week two. He's starting to settle down. So, mate, Tua's probably the front runner at the moment.
He's actually, weirdly enough, they've got Joe Burrow still at the top of the market. I'm looking at with Tua tied. And I'm like, have you watched the first two games? I don't know what's going on there. But, yeah, Tua's it ahead of Mahomes, ahead of Hurts, and ahead of Allen. Herbs. Tell you what, Lamar's not bad. $14. Anyway, moving right along. The week one overreaction is just a quick reaction to the overreactions from week one. KC are cooked. Nah. Minnesota stink. Yeah. Seattle are bad. Nah. Yeah. Niners and Cowboys will be undefeated all season.
Nah.
Oh, no.
Fuck.
And then the Jags are winning the Soupy. That might have been a bit much. So.
Yeah, that's a bit wild.
Nice one. All right, good bloke of the week. Who are we buying a beer? You've got to go to Puka Nacua.
Yeah.
Puka. Love him. 25 receptions. It's the most ever in his first two games. Like, that's chaos. What
from
a legend.
Coming in hot from the fifth round. That's the other thing. It's not that's like awesome. a Jefferson coming in with a high expectations, except not high enough expectation for the Eagles to actually fucking draft him. And let him fall. Anyway, but yeah, coming from for the fifth round, you know, into a team that's not expected to make the playoffs and putting up those sort of numbers is pretty special.
I hate it because it's like, we've got Juju Smith-Schuster and it's like, all right, can we just take Puka Nacua in like the fourth round? That might be easy. Anyway, Micah Parsons as well as good bloke of the week. He is just fucking running rampant to a Defensive Player of the Year award. And Mike McDaniel just seems like a fucking dude. I mean, he looks like a dude who like has definitely killed a hooker.
He's definitely fucking weird, dude. He's
super weird. We've talked about this plenty on this here podcast. He's just a weird unit. I fucking love it. but also weird unit. And it sort of throws everybody in NFL media. It's like, oh, he's a bit weird. It's like, yeah, because he's not just like some fucking meathead. It's
but
gnarly.
It also makes, like, even as an AFC team, it just makes his press conference, like as an NFC guy, makes his press conferences interesting because you never know what's going to come out of his mouth.
Especially right? in Miami, they kind of need that sort of weird, funky sort of dude to make that team even more sort of fun. Flog of the week, Jason Garrett. I can't fucking stand that prick in like the halftime shows for the Sunday Night Football. It is like, we hated you as a coach. You were shit as a coach. And you're shit as a commentator, you fucking weird grinning clown.
Yeah,
fuck
I don't
off.
Like him.
I hate him.
Yeah.
Absolute flog. Kadarius Toney, another bit of a flog. Somehow that dude has like gotten worse. Like, I don't know what happened. He's running backwards. Like, just what are you doing, Kadarius? And Deshaun Watson, talk about flog of the week, aka old mate, no mates. It's not nice to revel in people's failure, but it is if the person is Deshaun Watson.
Yeah,
I don't make the rules, Gaz. That's just how it is.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I didn't know how was that. I flog of the week, but old mate, no mates. You know, this is just one to fit in somewhere. It was Matty Ice's first foray into the commentary booth, and his mate threw him, his commentary partner threw him under the bus by saying, "Ah, oh, this should be way more one sided. This game should be like 28-3." Oofed. Oof. And Matty Ice, he just like consummate professional, mate. He just didn't react. It was like, oh, that's a bit tough.
That's on the nose. Then the final old mate, no mates is Brandon Staley, because that dude, if they lose in Minnesota this week, it's like, pack her up, boys, you're done. Outback Takehouse, it's Wednesday at Outback. You know what that means. Oh, that's right. I'm on the Gold Coast. So we'll just go down for some, I don't know, some nice falafel fucking wraps, just like you'd usually get at an Outback Takehouse. Only at Outback. That's right. Falafel wraps. Today's flame grill take is Aaron Rodgers isn't even hurt. He just fucking gave up. He went, nah, I'm too old. Fuck this. Do not care. Rolled over. Didn't have a torn Achilles. That's why you're hearing the weird rumors about he might be back in 3 months. That's bullshit. It's an Achilles. It's a year-long fucking thing, you idiots. Shut up. He's either faking it or it's not real. Only at Outback. And also, Roger Goodell got on the old dog and bone just to fuck with the Pats one more time at the end of that game, Gaz. One of the greatest moments you'll ever see on a football field. You got a tight end throwing it to an O-lineman as a bit of a lateral. He was definitely at a fucking first down. What are you doing? Roger Goodell calls up the refs and goes, don't you fucking give it to him. Only at Outback. I was outraged, Gaz. Outraged. I mean, we're going to lose that game anyway, but still. I mean, just give it to him for effort. Like the big fella, I reckon the ball had very clearly crossed the 1 yard, the first down marker before his knee went down. And for the life of me, I can't understand how I feel like every time we have something like that where it's like, well, we need evidence to overturn what the call in the field was. Like, well, where was the fucking evidence that he was short?
Yep.
I ask you that. Nowhere that I can see. Anyway. But it was such a fun play, and then, like, we just sort of sat there for like what 10 minutes just in confusion, like, well, I don't know, did they get it? Fucking no, we don't know, no one knows. They finally got it. So weirdly enough, we actually sit with the media row at NBL Blitz. We were sitting last night directly behind the video replay folks.
Yep.
And it's fascinating to see how quick and how sharp they do it. Like the coaches call for a challenge or whatever, and they just like zoom into the exact thing, zoom in, check it out. Then they tell the ref and it's like, bang, play on. Whereas the fucking NFL, you've got like some old bloke wandering over to a thing, looking at an iPad. They send it upstairs. They spend fucking 20 minutes trying to check it out. It's like, what is going on here? This is fucked. Multi-billion dollar fucking sporting league.
Yeah.
Anyway, little Aussie Butler of the week. Good to see Sipos out there booting the shit out of it on Thursday Night Football. Always good when they're in prime time.
Sorry, he's been cut.
When did that happen?
So he was actually on the practice squad at the beginning of the season, and they've elevated him twice. If they elevate him the third time, he's got to be on. So he is being he may be elevated this week, but we've picked up ex-Jet punter Braden Mann, who's currently sitting on the practice squad, and it's only a matter of time before it depends on who's ready this week, but Sipos. There's been a bit of joy from the Eagles fan base. It's sad to see from a St Kilda boy, but Yeah, mate. He has, based on some of the stuff that happened in the Super Bowl and some of his shanks, there's a lot of the Eagle fan base is pretty keen to
it. I thought he was pretty good on Thursday, so just
saying. Yeah, I think it's the inconsistency. He's had some cracking games, but then he's also had some wild shit where you're just like, oh, shit, you put us in some really bad field position here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think he's going to get surpassed, mate.
It's an underrated aspect as well of the thing, right? Like, the Pats actually having a punter at the moment makes such a fucking difference because it gives you special teams like a chance to do some cool shit. Yeah. And we didn't even mention the fucking amazing blocked field goal that we had with the timing of the run.
Oh, this is coming off from the side. You're like, how the
fucking unreal.
If you didn't time that, then it's a penalty every day, right? But you're just kind of surprised that more teams don't do it because he effectively had a running start. It wasn't straight at the play, but he had a running start. So, anyway.
Just innovative once more from Bill Belichick. Love it. All right, week 3 picks. Gaz is currently going through and adding his picks.
Right, I hadn't done my picks. So,
we'll talk them out and you can write them down as we go.
But funnily enough, there's a few here. Mate, there's not many that I disagree with you here on, so we'll just talk it out.
It's a weird week 3, I'll tell you. I went 9-for on the picks last week. Gaz went 8-for, so I am currently 3 ahead after 2 weeks. After going 8-6 week 1 and then 9-8 between the two of us this week. So first game of the week is Giants at the Niners. This is a rough one, I think, for the Giants. You're going to go out west. You go play Arizona, short week. You play the fucking Niners at home. Oh, this hurts. Niners, 10-point favorites. We've both gone the Niners. It'll probably be a squirrely game just because the Giants play squirrely games.
Yep.
But the Niners should still kick the shit out of them. And this feels like a 24-10 game. Tennessee, Cleveland. Tennessee have 3.5-point favorites on the road in Cleveland. And amazingly, we've both gone Tennessee. Awesome.
Yeah, I just think with Chubb out and Watson playing the way that he is, I don't know, man. Tannehill, he's not actually been playing that bad. Had a couple of deep passes to Burks. I think they could surprise. They're gonna. I think we might have underestimated them. I don't think they're gonna be amazing and make the playoffs, but we both pretty much preseason kind of wrote off Tennessee, and I think they'll. Yeah, we know.
I think my point is when it comes to picking against the spread against any Titans game, if they're getting more than 3 points, just take Tennessee.
Yep.
Because they will always do something fucking weird. They'll keep it close somehow. We saw it last week with like the stupid field goal that made zero difference, but it did cover the spread. Yep. And then this week, they flat out just won. So if I'm going to take anyone as an underdog, it's probably going to be Mike Vrabel. So Tennessee plus 3.5. We're both going Tennessee. Chargers, Minnesota, the loser, just pack her up. Dunskies, we'll trade Kirk Cousins or we'll fire Brandon Staley on one side. We've both gone the Chargers with a 0.5-point underdogs. Basically, it's a head-to-head matchup and we've both picked the Chargers.
Yeah, look, Cousins is playing okay. I don't have any faith in either of those defenses, as we mentioned earlier. I just feel the Chargers have got to come out. Like We've talked up, this is, as you said, make or break, and we've just talked up the Kellen Moore effect that we expect. Although, you know, now the talk is that Dak is playing actually better directly under McCarthy and Kellen Moore was just getting in the way. But I don't know. The Chargers have got to come through at some point, right? I don't know why. Yeah. That's probably not a good reason to put money on something, but
true. I just trust Herbs a little bit more, even on the road in Minnesota. I think this is a backs-of-the-wall game and they just give a little something-something. Pats-Jets, this is weird. I'm going to go the Pats. I just think they've got a little bit more juice on offense than the Jets do. Even at home, on the road, the Pats are favorited by 2.5. I've taken the Pats. You've gone the Jets.
I've gone the Jets because I think it would be funny. to pick against you because I know that those Jets New England games are always a bit tough and a bit spicy. But look, Breece Hall came out this week and was like, "Oh yeah, we didn't win because I wasn't handed the ball anywhere near enough." So I could honestly see after that Cowboys game, because this is going to be a defensive one, that the Jets might just come out and ride the run and just Breece Hall and old mate Delvin, and you guys win by a point, and I laugh and get one back.
Nice. Yeah, Belichick is probably not going to lose to Zach Wilson, it feels like. But yeah, the 2.5 does worry me. But then I was surprised that it wasn't like just a fucking last second field goal that won it for us. But it might still be. And as you said, it doesn't cover the spread. Mm-hmm. Houston, Jacksonville, we've gone Jags -8.5 at home against this Texans team. I was tempted to pick Houston because it's an AFC South interdivision fucking everything always gets weird between AFC South teams. The Jacksonville after a loss, I think they put the hurt on Houston and cover that 8.5.
Yeah, there's also a bit for me, like last year we worked out to not, these crazy spreads over a score to always pick Houston because their defense was able to keep it close. But what's costing them this year is just that absolute sieve of an offensive line.
O-line, yeah.
Right? They just, yep. They just never have the offense, just never has the ball.
Yeah.
So,
a bit hard. Buffalo, Washington, we've both gone the Bills -6.5. We've sort of talked out how we don't really trust Washington. This is a home game, though, but it's like I only took, I think, this because it's the 6.5. I'm like, this is good. Because it could just be, 24-17, Buffalo win it by eking out enough, right?
Yeah, I think this is Washington coming back to earth a little bit by playing an actual playoff defense. And then Allen continuing what they did last week. So I think I'm quite happy with that margin.
Indy, Baltimore, Packer up Indy. That was fun that you won this week, but you played Houston. Now you're playing in Baltimore. 8.5 point favorites of the Ravens. They should smash them.
Yeah, I agree. There's nothing more to say on that one.
Atlanta, Detroit's really interesting though. Atlanta's 3.5 point underdogs in Detroit. Atlanta have opened up the season with two home games. Now go to Detroit. Detroit played at home, obviously, last week. 3.5 point favorites. I think Atlanta just a little bit more balanced. I think Detroit can beat them, but I think this is just like one of those stupid Detroit games where it's like 38-36 or something like that, and Atlanta cover, like no matter what. So I'm taking Atlanta. You're going Detroit.
Yeah, I'm going Detroit. I think that defensive line will take the Seattle game a bit personally, and I think they'll tighten up. And if you take that run game away from Atlanta and put it into Ritter's hands, the offense isn't going to be their defense for Detroit is not going to massively improve one week to another, but I don't know that Atlanta's got enough on defense to keep that Detroit fucking offense off the field.
All right. Green Bay hosting New Orleans. We've both gone Green Bay -2.5. That's a key number because I think this is a Green Bay 3-point win. So
yeah,
I'll take that.
No, I think I have absolutely no faith or idea what to see in New Orleans at the moment, even though we both agree they're going to win the division. And Green Bay just seem about that middle of the road. As you said, you get stuff out of Jordan Love that's a bit nice, even though there's some not. but yeah, I'm going to give it to Green Bay.
Nice. Miami, Denver, Miami 6.5 point favorites again. This is a key number too. It's not 7. So Miami, I think they smashed this. Like Denver's defense has been handy and this first half rust thing is pretty cool, but in the heat down there in Miami, no fucking chance, right?
I feel like they're going to kick the shit out of them. I was happy to see 6.5, I think.
Seattle, Carolina. I can't believe this is only 5.5 in favor of Seattle. I'm like, what's happened? Did all their receivers like just go up in like Elon Musk's fucking space Tesla shit? Like, what is it? Like, are they back? Are they just out this week? What's going on? 5.5. I'm going Seattle. They're at home.
Yeah.
This is a rookie QB on the fucking road. Like, that on a team that's shit.
Yeah, fucking, I agree. Yeah, definitely taking Seattle in this one.
I can't trust Seattle too much, but I can trust them here. KC hosting Chicago. Oh, 12.5. 12.5 points.
It's a lot of points.
I wanted to go Chicago, but I just don't like their defense anyway. And KC could just, I mean, they could probably still get to like 24 points and still cover this line, right? 24-10 or something. And you're like, cool. So we're both going KC, Arizona, Dallas.
Yeah, sorry. No, you're right. Keep going.
All right, Arizona, Dallas. Dallas -12.5 again. I don't like this because this one's on the road for the favorite, but Arizona have been so bad and his defense is so fucking good.
Yep.
That again, agreed. I've got to go the favorite, the 12.5. Like, I think they can win this by 14 and not break a sweat. They just beat the shit out of the Jets, 30-10, and the Jets are substantially better than Arizona. So
Yeah, and Dallas have a good record against Jonathan Gannon defenses. So sure. They beat us pretty well last year. So, you know, not with a lot of rested players, but still it's Gannon. He's just going to play soft, and CeeDee Lamb's going to feast on that.
Pittsburgh in Vegas. I think this is the Sunday night game.
Yep.
Because we've got the doubleheader on Monday as well. So Pittsburgh Raiders, we've got Pittsburgh. Both of us have gone the Steelers +2.5.
I hate this game.
Because Jimmy G could just come out and like just start slicing and dicing. But I feel like Devontae Adams is carrying injuries. Josh Jacobs looked like dog shit this week. So Pittsburgh, I think there's just a little bit more upside with the 2.5. Like the Raiders could win this by one. You wouldn't blink a fucking eyelid. So
Look, that defense from Pittsburgh is fucking legit. But their offense is also fucking terrible. Like,
as you mentioned earlier. Interesting litmus test for Philly on the road against Tampa Bay. They've got that squirrely number as well. The 4.5 for Philly as the favorites. This screams like the exact same as like the Pats Eagles game in week one for me. Philly on the road, eke out a 5-point win. So they cover that line. So I've picked Philly, but it's a weird one, right?
I'm kind of waiting for the Philly breakout game. So last year, when AJ came on board, like the first like 2 or 3 weeks, Devontae had nothing. Like catch here, catch there, and everyone was like, "Oh no, he's just kind of lost it," and he ended up putting up over 1,000. And there was just this game that came together. And like after that came out in the media that Devontae was like, "Oh, he just got fed the next game." And you got to remember, they've barely used Dallas Goedert, they've barely used AJ. This could be the breakout game where they just go, you know what? If they're going to play tight defense, we're just going to fucking go deep. So it could be, it could be a smashing, but Tampa's been plucky. So I'm still going to take Philly. I'm happy with the 4.5. Yeah.
Nice one. Last one is Cincy hosting the Rams. We just don't know about Burrow. So look,
I'll put a massive asterisk. I
think we can both sort of go, if Burrow plays, I feel better taking Cincy at home.
Yeah.
But if he doesn't, Rams +1.5 seems pretty good. So
yeah,
I've just written down LA, but we've got an asterisk around this
one. Yeah, so exactly. I think we're both in agreement on that one.
Nice one. Weird slate, fun one. Pittsburgh Raiders is going to be weird, but I love the double headers on Monday for our Tuesday morning watching.
Just makes fucking work. Like I can get away with watching football during Monday meetings, but like Tuesday, I'm supposed to catch up on all the shit that I missed on Monday.
It
makes life tough.
It does, but that's all right. Well, there you go. That's it for this week. Week 2 in the bag. Week 3 up ahead. That's episode 77 of NFL Australia.
77.
So chuck us a follow across Facey, Twitter, IG, all the good stuff. Thank us a rating and review on your podcast app. What is it? Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever you use on your weird Android phones. Big thanks to House Hats, as always, for the intro and outro song. They rule. Get around NBA Australia. We'll be back in about... We're doing some stuff from the NBL Blitz, obviously, so check out all the socials for that shit. But the Daily Show will be back for the new season. And you can also hear me on CodeBet Daily and Fox Sports Lab NFL with my good mate, Matty Campbell, picking up a storm every Thursday, which is really fun. And smash CodeBet, because I have a giant article that goes up every week breaking down every single game, just like we did then.
Yep.
Gaz, what do you want to plug? How good were your gigs on the weekend?
That was a bunch of fun. We played on Friday night at 3:03 for Sidesplitters CD launch. And then for a 36th wedding anniversary, Jimmy, at Last Chance Rock and Roll Bar, both like intimate gigs, but a whole bunch of fucking fun. And then on Sunday, I did absolutely nothing, as it would surprise no one else, because my 44-year-old bones were fucking tired. it was good to be back. I don't think we'll play again for the rest of the year, so it's good to bring the old Ramshackle Army out for 1 or 2 gigs a year.
Nice one. Yeah, I had a great time on Saturday there and smashing a few tins, and then it sort of hit like, I don't know, 11:30, and I'm like 12 or something, and I'm like, I just need to go home. I'm old. I got a one-year-old's birthday party that I got to organize on Sunday. 100%. So tough scenes. Check out Eagle Australia as well for you.
Yeah, Eagle Australia doing some content. It's been a bit slow recently because the headlines haven't been, there's nothing been setting the world on fire. But with some injuries, mate, Howie's going to be making some moves, so we're expecting to be posting some spicy stuff moving forward.
Nice one. All right, there you go. We will catch you next week, you dickheads.
See yous.
Later, Hosen.
broken.